Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Dare County Board of Commissioners Monday, April the 16th meeting. And at this time, I'm honored to ask the Reverend David Morris of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the Outer Banks to lead us in an invocation. Reverend Morris, thank you for being here this evening.
Thank you, Chairman Woodard. Thank you for all of you for the opportunity to be here. And from the North Dare Ministerial Association, thank you for allowing us to be with you in this way. Will you pray with me? Spirit of life and of wisdom, Spirit of justice and of truth, God of many names, whose highest name is always love, we begin in gratitude for the many gifts of this beautiful and bountiful place in which we live. We give thanks for those whose hands do the labor of making it so, and for those who are willing to take up the task of leadership in this community. We give thanks for all those, paid and unpaid, who work to make sure that our county serves all those who live here. Above all, we give thanks for the gift of life. Here in the space and time together, may those charged with leadership be reminded always of the wisdom that puts the decisions, the impact of their decisions on our children and families at the head of the agenda. May that wisdom guide them to the widest possible understanding of who our children and our families are. May we always temper justice with mercy. May we remember to temper wisdom with compassion. May we remember that we serve all who live here in the light of that which we each hold holy and sacred. We pray for wisdom, for guidance, for understanding, and for compassion. And each of us asks in the name of what we hold holy, may it be so. Amen.
Amen. May we rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started, I'd like to just say that Commissioner Shea has an excused absence from the meeting. He's out of town and won't be back until tomorrow evening. I'd like to recognize several people in our audience this evening. We have with us Lee Nettles, Executive Director of the Business Bureau. Lee, thank you for being here this evening. And Commissioner Bateman from Kitty Hawk Curbin, thank you for being here this evening. With that said, County Manager, I'll turn it over to you.
Yes, sir. Item one on the agenda is the Chairman's opening remarks.
Thank you, County Manager. Just have a couple of quick items this evening. I'd like to certainly thank Vice Chairman Overman, Commissioner Couch, and Ross, and myself attended the Chamber Economic Summit last week, and Governor Cooper was the guest speaker, and he reiterated his support for no drilling on the off the coast of our Outer Banks. And he spoke about the desire to improve education in North Carolina and also to respond to the opioid epidemic. And then later that morning, we also went over to Duck Woods for the Dementia Task Force meeting, and the governor spoke there as well. So it was a very, very productive day, informative day, and I want to thank each of you all for attending that. This afternoon at 1 o'clock, our board held a budget workshop for 2019, and it was a very good meeting. And we will hold one more workshop between now and the 1st of May to give the county manager some direction with respects to the proposed 2019 budget. And then last but not least, certainly if you will keep the Bush family in your thoughts and prayers, one of the matriarchs of that family, Miss Barbara Bush, is having heart failure and has chosen not to seek any further help. So if you will keep the Bush family in your thoughts and prayers, it'd be most appreciative. With that, County Manager, I'll turn it back over to you.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Item two on the agenda is public comment. Ladies and gentlemen, now's the time that's been set aside for public comment. If you have public comment this evening and you've not signed up, please raise your hand. When you do, I'll recognize you. Please then come to the podium, state your name and where you're from. The green light on the podium comes on when your time begins. The yellow light will come on when you have about a minute left, and when the red light comes on, you need to conclude your remarks. First on my list is Jack Hugh.
Did you say Pugh?
I said Hugh, if I said Pugh? That correctly.
Okay. It's pronounced Hugh.
Welcome, Mr. Hugh. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for allowing me to make this presentation. My name is Jack Hugh, and I've been working with fearful and abused dogs for about 10 years. I see the benefits of agility training for dogs, and I'm proposing that we put some agility training equipment out at the Roanoke Island Dog Park. I do build the equipment, and I am willing to build it and donate it to the dog park. I've got some handouts here that will help explain. If I could go ahead and pass these out.
Sure. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Pat, hand them to me, please.
As we go through these, the first page basically explains the benefits of agility training to the dogs and for the dogs and also for the human beings involved. The second page are some proposed dog park rules, which I have taken from Kitty Hawk and the ones in Nag's Head, and also some other dog parks that I've visited. The third page is a liability page taken from the Ocean City Dog Park, which is quite comprehensive. And that is a major concern to me for building the agility equipment. And if there was an injury, I want to be held or not held liable for injury on the equipment. I have built the equipment that is at the Outer Banks SPCA Agility Yard. Page four shows one of those pieces of equipment, which is an A-frame. It's painted white. It was originally painted brown, but in the heat of the summer, it got too hot for the dog's pad, so I kind of crudely painted it white. But it's basically an A-frame, and the strips you see across are for dogs to get traction so they can climb up the A-frame and down the other side. Page five shows a trainer putting a dog over the A-frame. Page six shows the dog approaching the top and heading down the other side. Page seven shows a ramp walkway. It's just another obstacle for the dog to conquer. And the last page, page eight, shows the agility yard at the Outer Banks SPCA. And I built all that equipment. One of the things that has to be taken into consideration is that this agility area is going to need its own fence, and it's going to need its own gates. It has to be separate from the workings of the other dogs that are loose in the park, for them to concentrate and be able to use the courts. We'd need a double gate to get the mower in and cut the grass. A single gate would be, in addition, would be wonderful. The liability waiver, which we already talked about, is obviously very, very important. And as far as teaching people how to use the equipment, we have a instructor that is willing to spend her time doing this, and she's not charging directly for it, but she's, her thought was that maybe a donation box could be put there while she's teaching people how to use the courts. I think I'm getting close to being out of time, but I think that pretty well explains why I'm here, and hopefully this backup information will, you'll have time to look at it and digest it. I guess I'm done. Thank you for your time.
All right, Mr. Hughes, thank you, but I'd like to come back later after public comment, and I have a couple of questions I need to ask you.
Okay. Next on the sign-up sheet is Judy Williams.
Good to see you, Ms. Williams.
Hi. Good to see all of you, and I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for our dog park. It has been a huge success. We have over 180 members to our dog park, and there could be 15 to 18 dogs there at a time, and they all seem to pretty much get along. We've had really responsible homeowners or dog owners there that have intervened when necessary. But I really want to thank you. I mean, in less than a year before this board, we made the request for a dog park, and you stepped up, and we really appreciate it. Thank you, Commissioner Woodard, for your timeliness and your getting back to us when we had questions. Why do I get nervous up here? There are still some unfinished fence items, which I know Jack's been working with Tim on. And the big thing is, when is opening day? PetSmart has agreed to come out and give out little trinkets and frisbees and whatever. And we need to know where and when to register our dogs. And we hope our rules and regs won't be seven pages like Kitty Hawk, but there are some important rules that need to be kept. And I didn't know if you were willing to meet with some of us to discuss our concerns that should be in the rules and regs, or whether you're just going to do it without any input from us. Let's see. And handicap signs. We do have a couple people, believe it or not, that come to the park that are handicapped. They are able to come in with their dogs, and usually one of us will clean up, you know, for them. So, but thank you again. We love it, and life is better with a dog.
Thank you, Ms. Weeb. And we'll answer those questions you've asked of us.
Is there other public comment this evening? Anyone else have public comment? Seeing none here, is there any public comment in Buxton?
No comment tonight.
Mr. Chairman, with that, we close the public comment.
All right. Thank you, County Manager. I would like to address a couple of things so we don't go through the entire meeting without making these folks that have made public comment this evening speak, if it's the pleasure of the board. Is the board fine with that, addressing this at this time? I've got a couple of questions of Mr. Hugh, and that is, you mentioned that the agility yard, there would need to be a separate enclosure within the dog park for an agility yard, and I'm wondering, do you have any ideas to the size of that? When you say you need a separate fence and gate inside the dog park that we've already built?
We were looking at using a corner of the existing park, which would mean there'd be two sides already there.
Right.
But 50 feet by 100 feet of fencing would be the minimum size. We measured this off the other day. The gate issue is you know, to get a mower in there, you have to have the double gate.
Absolutely. what is the tell me the reason for needing a separate yard within a yard for the agility? Do you get interference from other dogs?
Yes.
It's
to keep the dogs focused. And it's very hard to do that with other dogs, you know, running around in the area. Concentration, agility, the dogs need to concentrate on what they're doing. And so does the person that's putting the handler, I should say. And having dogs running around inside that area would just distract from the purpose of trying to get any agility training done.
Okay. That's anyone else have any questions of Mr. Hugh?
Yeah, I was kind of concerned about the liability issue, and obviously I understand where you're coming from, the liability of actually building equipment and stuff like that. What would the county's liability be on this?
I don't think that we would have any. If we did, we would have coverage for it. If I was going to wait when you finished your questions, I'll go through the list of what I heard,
right,
and I can respond to most of those things.
Yeah, cool. And also my other question would also be pretty much geared towards Bobby, too, of having an instructor in a donation box there. I'm worried about that kind of aspect of it, too.
Donations are good. We take donations. I think we would be reluctant to have a donation box out in the open in the field. We have to figure a better way to do that. But
this would be just when that training was going on.
But so the answer is there's nothing with donations, and we have a donation fund, and when people give us donations and they're directed to a specific purpose, we're required to use them for that. And so if we did that, we would be glad to do that. How we did it, I think something we need to talk about, but
okay,
the idea of a donation is not, there's okay, nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
I'm good.
Anyone else? Yes, sir. Commissioner
Kelly. That's a great idea. Would feel better if I knew, I hear you say 50 by 100, but I'd feel better if I knew whether, to what extent it's going to compromise that really nice open space that we have there currently. I've been by there and I've seen some guys out there throwing some frisbees and stuff, and it's not to say no, I just would like to feel better about taking 500 square feet out of there.
May I comment on that?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
The area that we have looked at is completely away from anywhere where people are using these chuckets and throwing these balls and throwing these frisbees. 100 feet, 200 feet out there. This is off to the side. As you come in to the road, there's two double gates, and it would be in that area down there, which is really, it's not used by the dogs for.
Is that the corner of the west and north section of the lot?
It's the corner
where it's low.
No, it's on that side, but it's above that. It's where the small.
It's where the small gate pin.
Small dog yard is down to the first big double gate. That's probably not.
I understand where you're talking.
It's an area that if you go out there at any given time and you watch what's going on, the activity, there's nothing, very little activity over there.
Okay.
May I address the one thing about liability that came up? Mm-hmm. My concern is that if a dog gets hurt on a piece of agility equipment that I build, I would be concerned about the liability for that.
Right.
I haven't read his agreement, but there's no issue with that. If we have to do some agreement along those lines in our, when you sign up to be a, to use the dog park, then it would be fine to include something like that to cover that. That won't,
right,
that won't
right.
be that, an issue.
That's just what I was kind of getting at. So it wouldn't be a separate
no problem.
Thing to do. Yeah.
And that's what I tried to do on the rules. You'll see some red ink in there. And that was, I put that in there to try and make that point that mm-hmm. it's part of the park.
Right.
So therefore it's part of the liability coverage.
Is it your intent to leave the agility equipment out there?
Yes. Once it's built, it belongs to the, and it's in the park, it belongs to the park.
Okay.
The only thing that I'm concerned about, some of it, the agility hoops, which are the PVC jump hoops, they can be easily removed by someone if they want to, if somebody wanted to steal something. But I'm going on good faith and saying, I'm going to put the stuff out there, and let's just hope that people are respect it and,
right.
And
right.
treat it the way they should.
Okay. Well, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Hugh. I'll ask the county manager, Ms. Williams, to address your current concerns about opening day and
I'll go down my list. On the agility stuff, we have no issues. In fact, I think I've asked them to touch base with Tim, and whatever they want to do with regard to the equipment won't be a problem. The only caveat we had with regard to that is it had to be movable so we could mow, and had to be movable so that if we ever used the area for parking for a large event or something, that we could move it out of the way, and they've assured us that won't be a problem. So in principle, the agility isn't an issue.
But also, if it's in its own little fenced-in area, then...
Well, I hadn't gotten that part yet. So the issue now is, you know, there's a 50 by 100 fenced-in area that they're asking for, that the first I heard of it was right now. So there's no budget for that. There's nothing designed for that. It's not in any of the numbers that we've had or we've talked about. So the only issue, I think the area is big. And I don't think that putting a 50 by 100 foot fence somewhere in there is going to detract from the use of the park. The only issue I have with it is the dollars. It's going to cost something to do that, and there's nothing in anybody's budget for that now. The options are to figure out a way to do it, or the options are let's get it all up and running, and as we look at the Parks and Rec budget going through the year, see where we are, and when we have an opportunity, see what we can do to help them out. And that would be your call.
We still need shade and water out there, too.
Well, I'll come to that in just a second. Yeah. So, you know, you all have to give me guidance on the fences. What do you want me to do with that? There was a question about opening day. I don't know when that's going to be. There's a punch list out there. They were supposed to have come and done it Friday to fix the gaps in the fences, and there's a gap in the gate and some of those kind of things. And they came and they did some things, but they didn't fix it. And so Tim went out there this morning and went over the punch list again, has talked to them. They're supposed to be out there again this week, and this is all the fence guys, to fix those things. And so we go around and around with the fence guys, but that's what's holding it up. And so what we're waiting on is to get all the punch list done. Then we're going to put the water in. The water line's been marked. It's going to hook to our water, so it won't be pump water. It'll be city water off of our water line. That's marked. It's going to be in there so that it can be used by at or around the area where both the small park and the big park come together. There'll be a water faucets there to water the animals there. For the shade area, the posts are up. They've been up. The shade canopies hadn't been put on yet. When they're put on, the shade is to cover. It straddles the fence kind of to cover both parks, and there'll be picnic tables put under on each side so that people can sit at a table under the shade in either side of the park that they wanted to when that's done. And so when all those things are done, then the next thing is to have opening day. Our intention for opening day is... Tim monitors, he's aware of their Facebook page, and there's a lot of people on that. And what we would want to do is give the people some notice, whether it's 30 days or 15 days or some amount of time notice that says, okay, opening day is going to be this. at that point, we're going to lock the doors. The idea being we want you to have time to come in, get your dog registered, sign the release forms, do all those things that you need to do to be eligible to use the park. We don't want to catch somebody by surprise if we can help it. And so we'll let them help us get the word out because they do that. We'll post it on all of our stuff, and then we'll pick a date for an opening day. We were thinking 30 days, but they may tell us they don't need 30 days. It may be that we could do it sooner. We haven't closed it, so people are using it now. They just don't have to have – they don't have to follow any rules. They don't have to have the code to get into locks or anything like that. And that was another thing on the punch list. The locks were supposed to be stalled, and I don't know if they were or not. But so, again, that's what we plan to do about opening day. With respect to the rules, we've said all along that the same rules that we have in Kitty Hawk will apply. I think the signs have been ordered with our rules on it. With regard to input, I've directed Tim to talk to them. Any input they give, we'll listen to. And, you know, if we can make it better and we've got a way to do it, I mean, we want it to be nice. We want people to enjoy it. So he'll listen and you know, the decisions that we make to operate don't need to come back up to your level. They'll be handled at the Parks and Rec level. And if Tim doesn't know what to do, he'll come to me. But for the most part, within reason, whatever makes it better for the users, fine. You know, if it doesn't impact our budget and they've got ideas that are better or something we didn't think of, then to the extent we can, we will. We talked about donation. I talked about rules. I talked about fence, talked about water. Was there anything else on the list that I've
Yeah, I'd just like to request, this is going on long enough with the contractor that's done it. I need somebody from Parks and Rec, either Tim or somebody from his staff, when they come out, I want somebody from the department to be there and to hold them there until they get all the punch list stuff done. Enough's enough. It's going on way too long.
You're right.
It is quite remarkable. It's a fence company that does nothing but do fences for a living and can't get the fence.
Not an excuse, but interesting is that we had a different fence company and we changed to this fence company for the same reasons
we got rid of
that we're having problems with this fence company. And then I talked to, I think it was at the airport maybe, that was having the same problems with the fence company that they chose doing the same thing. So I don't know if this is...
Well, I just want somebody from staff to be out there the whole time that they're out there and make sure they get it finished.
I'll do it. And we'll have the punch list there to make sure they do it. So
I agree. It's going long enough.
To be honest with you, I'm not sure which one. I know who the other one was. I don't remember. I think this might be... I hate to say the wrong one and disparage them on TV, so...
Thank you.
Okay. Chairman, that leads us to item. Well, are we done with that?
Ms. Williams, it looks like she might have had another question.
I just want to let the board know that we do have a Facebook page for Roanoke Island Dog Park, and feel free to go on there and look at all the comments. It's really a great dog park.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Okay. That takes us to item 3 on the agenda. That's a tourism board request for consent for a fireworks grant, and Lee Nettles is here for that. Hey, Lee.
Good to see you, Lee.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Board of Commissioners. Thank you for allowing me this time. I'm here today to request your consent for restricted fund expenditures in the amount of $46,000 for fireworks grant awards. The tourism board received 4 applications this year, and it has voted to provide funding to each of those applicants. The 4th of July fireworks are planned in the towns of Kill-Devil Hills, Nag's Head, Manio, and the village of Avon. Just by way of reminder, the Tourism Board's fireworks grants are a matching grant up to 50% and paid on a reimbursement basis once a proof of expenditure is provided. You may have noticed that there's a different amount, a smaller amount for Avon, and the reason for that is because of the match up to 50%, the cost of the fireworks in Avon was just smaller overall.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Lee. What's the pleasure of the board?
Move to approve.
There's a motion on the floor by Vice Chairman Overman to approve the awards in the amount of $46,000. Is there a second?
A second.
Second by Commissioner House. Any further Questions? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Chairman, item four on the agenda. Each year at this time, in before we before the May sign-up periods begin, we have to approve our health insurance plan, and that's on the agenda now. We don't anticipate any changes in the plan, anything that we offer. It'll still be it'll still have the PPO and the high deductible plan of the health savings account as we've done in the past, and none of that will change. There has been a increase in the use in the cost. There's a 7% increase there. We've talked about that somewhat in the budget workshop. And Elizabeth's here if you have questions, and Dave's here if you have questions, but that's there for your approval so that we can move forward in May as we're required to do by law.
All right. Any questions from the board?
Just one quick one.
Yes, sir.
Elizabeth. The employee only is, I'm sorry. I take it back. I see it's changed.
Yeah.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay. that was easy one for you, Liz.
That was easy.
Yeah. Read the chart.
Anyone else? What's the pleasure of the board?
Motion to approve.
There's a motion on the floor by Commissioner Tobin to approve the health insurance plan for 2018-19 as presented, and it's been seconded by Commissioner House and Vice Chairman Overman. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. Motion carries unanimous.
Thank you.
Tough job, Elizabeth. Yeah.
Bring you to all the meetings.
Right.
You're well done.
Item five on the agenda is the consent agenda. On the consent agenda, you have the approval of the minutes from April 3rd. You have the appointment of a firefighters relief board member for the Hatteras Island Volunteer Fire Department. And item three on there is the tax collector's report.
Move to approve. There's a motion on the floor by Commissioner Couch to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner House. Further discussion? Hearing none, those.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
I did have one quick question.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, Commissioner Roth.
And it's more of a clarification on the firefighter's appointment to the board. In reading the detail, it indicated that two members will be elected by the local fire department. Two shall be elected by the mayor and their board of aldermen. And one shall be named by the commissioner of insurance. So my only question was, we're putting someone on the board, but I wasn't sure how we as the county board of commissioners fit within that definition of 588430.
What I believe that means is that on the initial board, it is set up that way, but on the subsequent board, either the mayor or the local governing body appoints the replacements, I believe, because I don't think everybody on those boards has to go back to the insurance commissioner for appointment.
So we would be the local governing body?
Correct.
Yep. Got it. Okay.
Yep.
That's all my question was. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Any other questions? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries unanimous.
That'd be your agenda, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, County Manager. That brings us to item six, Commissioner's Business. And I'd like to ask Commissioner House if he would kick that off tonight.
All right. Get everything ready.
Had a good meeting this week with the Deer County Juvenile Crime Prevention Workshop. We actually helped sponsor a new program that's coming out. It's the ASEP, which is the After School Enrichment Program, which is going to be doing the All Summer Enrichment Program, which will be provided all summer with activities for children from ages 6 to 11. It'll be a Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 5:30. And good thing about that is we know that, especially children with that age group, during the summer when parents are still trying to work and take care of children, sometimes they have a
representation of what they can do with the child during the summer, other than going to a daycare or something like that. This is another program that can help alleviate that, so that you've got not only your children with very well-trained individuals, but it's also a learning-based camp as well. It does have a cost per week, and they're still kind of working on that. There is no multiple child discount. There is no discounts for staff members. Reading camp participants will be offered a half day rate, because with the reading camp, they're already in this type program for like half a day, and then they could transfer over to this. So if you've got a young child, like I said, between the ages of 6 and 11, and this summer you need some help with you taking care of your child while you're working or whatever, this is an excellent opportunity. This is something that's come up, and it's actually done by the Dare County school system, but it's kind of a separate from that as well. We do understand that if some of the children are under Dare County subsidies, the subsidies could actually transfer into this program. So it's there's already some sponsorships available. The Dare County Juvenile Crime Prevention Council actually donated $2,000 to help with some of the sponsorship programs and maybe some possible scholarship. So definitely it's a way that to have your child supervised and actually have them learning, because we all know that children with inadequate supervision are at risk in terms of safety and well-being, and that's definitely what we don't want to happen here in Dare County. We want to keep our children straight and narrow and have them educated and learning. So I did want to bring that to your attention. It should be beginning as early as the week of June 18th, and it should run until the ending of August 10th. So definitely keep your eyes and ears above on that. And if you have any questions, please contact Dare County Schools. Super. We do have our chairman's favorite part of any commissioner's meeting, and that's the pet of the week. And we have a pretty little kitty cat named Linda who's looking for a good home.
Our pet of the week for this week is Linda. Linda is a 3-year-old, fully vetted love bug. She loves to play, adores catnip, and people of all sizes. Linda would love to be the one and only four-legged love of your life. To adopt Linda or foster one of our other animals, you can come visit us Monday through Saturday at our shelter located in Manteo. For more information, visit our website at www.obxspca.org.
Now, who could refuse that pretty little kitty? Linda needs a good home, and I'm sure that at the SPCA there's plenty of other animals there ready to be adopted. Please take an animal home with you, adopt them, love them, and they'll love you back. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner House. Vice Chairman Oak?
I told a putty tat. I don't have anything.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. Commissioner Couch?
Nothing to report since last meeting, sir.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Tobin?
I have lots. It was a busy week for me. We had a meeting of the Oregon Inlet Task Force. Prior to the meeting, I had received actually quite a bit of information from the Army Corps of Engineers and their dredging schedules and their production for the last 6 months. I kind of went down in the weeds in those, and I came up with some issues that I wanted to address with them. One of the things I questioned them about was their production and how we could improve their efficiency. One of the suggestions I made is that they use a crew boat rather than the dredge itself to go back and forth with for their shift change. They've been working 24-hour shifts, and they make 2 round trips a day on the dredge itself from Wanchese back to the inlet. That equates to 4 hours and 45 minutes of travel time a day. In 7 months, between that travel time and the travel time that they do for just single shifts, it it added up to $270,000 for 6 months. And I just think we can get them to do a better job. The other thing that I went to the Dare County Older Adult Services Board meeting, and they wanted to make sure that I thanked the commissions for funding their new flooring in the rec room there at the Baum Center. I don't know if any of you have been up there, but it really turned out really nice, and they're really thrilled with it. Also heard some reports from the Fessenden Center and the Baum Center, and they wanted also for me to remind you that the opening for the senior games is this Friday at 11:30 at the Baum Center, and all the commissioners are invited. There will be a luncheon also. After my meetings there, for my community advisory council with the state, I toured the Spring Creek Assisted Living Home and also Peak Resources Nursing Home. I had a few complaints, which is not normal, from the residents, and found a few interactions that I addressed with the staff and Brandy Jordan, the ombudsman, and we're getting ready to take some, you know, just talk to them about some corrective actions on that. Also, I went to the board meeting for a cooperative extension service, heard from the new 4-H agent, Paige, which we're really lucky to have Paige. She's going to be a very dynamic leader for 4-H. And just wanted to let everybody know that 4-H is really looking for some kids to get into that program. It's really a good thing to have on your resume when you're applying for college. It goes a long ways, and looking forward to getting some kids into that. And then last but not least, we had a meeting with Senator Cook, Representative Boswell, Cape Hatteras Park Superintendent Dave Halleck, and the Assistant Superintendent Mark Dowdle, and discussed bringing all the stakeholders together once again to talk about possible stabilization of some type of Body Island on the north side of Oregon Inlet, and mentioned that there were a lot of new systems out there, sand bypassing systems and new techniques with jetties that we need to start taking a look at. That's all I got.
Very good. Thank you very much, Commissioner Tobin. Commissioner Roth?
Just a quick question for Jim, if I may. Were the older
yes.
adult complaints issues, were they at Spring Arbor or Peak or both?
The complaint was from at Spring Arbor, which is very unusual.
Very unusual.
Spring Arbor, Diane Denny, who was the head of previous. Spring Arbor, is gone, and they're in search for somebody. But I think it was just somebody having a bad day.
Okay.
But the other issues were at Peak Resources, and it's a repeated thing. They always seem to have beds. I know they expanded, and there's some unused bed frames that they have that are always seem to be blocking fire exits. So
gotcha.
That's an issue. But okay, it's being addressed.
I will be brief. The Albemarle Commission continues to move forward on our new facility being contemplated for lease in Elizabeth City. And we continue to gather user input and moving toward negotiations with the landlord. And I will again keep you all posted, but it is within budget there. It will be a lease facility. Will not require capital acquisition of a building or land. So I think we're in pretty good shape there moving forward. I attended the Nags Head Community Watch meeting with the Nags Head Police Force the other night, and the topic of discussion was school safety. And I would just share with you that it was very reassuring to hear the officers explain that there is a school resource officer in every one of the schools in Nags Head. He or she is very well acquainted with the students, the staff, the administration, and I was very encouraged by what I heard during this meeting. And I would just contrast that. I read an article online this morning in the news. They described a school district in Pennsylvania that the school board had assigned a bucket of rocks to be placed in each classroom as a safety feature, that I guess the students could then pick up rocks and throw them at an attacker. I didn't make that up. That is honest to God online.
A bucket of rocks.
And lastly, I received notice our own Manio High School graduation is going to be June the 9th at the Lost Colony and at 9 a.m. So everybody's encouraged to come out and watch the grads. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Ross.
That brings us to county manager business.
Yes, sir. I have two things. One is with respect to EMS billing. Over time, we've had multiple problems with our current EMS billing company, and we need to make a change in that. I'm bringing it to you now because we have to give notice of termination before the end of the month to our current biller if we're going to enter into a new contract on July 1st when our new budget year starts. And we have a three-year contract from a new carrier, Colleton Billing Solutions, that was made a very impressive presentation to us. It's going to cost us about $60,000 more for their services, but their rate of recovery should well exceed that. So it should have some positive budget impacts for us going forward. Jenny and her staff have been through it in some detail. Dave and I met with the representative of that company on Friday, and we were impressed by him and by the things that he gave us as well. And so what I need for you all to do is, one, to authorize me to cancel the old contract upon expiration at the end of this fiscal year, and to enter into the new three-year contract with Cognitive Billing Solutions for the upcoming 3 years. And we think that we'll be very pleased. The good news is we've got a 60-day out for any reason or no reason, so if we don't like it, we always have the right to get rid of them down the road, but we think we're going to be pleasantly surprised.
So moved. All right. There's a motion on the floor by Vice Chairman Overman to accept the new contract for billing for EMS, and it's been seconded by Commissioner House. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries unanimous.
Next, in our upcoming budget, we have some dollars set aside for ambulances, cots, and cot fasteners. If we send out a notice of intent to purchase now for our upcoming budget year, then we can get some discounts off of that and save some money. And so, given that they were budgeted in our Plan 19 budget already, I'm asking you to authorize us to send the letters of intent that would give us those discounts going forward.
So moved. Motion on the floor by Commissioner House. Is there a second?
Second.
A second by Commissioner Ross. Any further discussion?
Hearing none. I have one question. If for some reason that we didn't execute the purchase, is there a penalty?
There's not a penalty in the letter. I mean, our letter basically says we intend to purchase, and this is the purpose to secure that pricing. Certainly, we would lose the pricing. Mm-hmm. We have to approve a budget, so you know, we could elect not to buy any of this stuff, I suppose, in which case, whether they come back on us on the letter of intent or not,
Bobby.
We flip coins. Yeah.
David, our finance director.
There is a penalty the following year for state contract. You're not allowed to participate for that item.
Whether there's money for the suit or that kind of thing.
How much is the safe?
Jenny?
And we're looking at two units next year.
Three.
So you're talking $36,000.
Yeah, it's a normal replacement cycle.
Thank you. Yeah. Jim, that answer your?
Yes.
Thank you. Any further questions? Hearing none, then those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, like sign. Motion carries unanimous.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, County Manager. Ms. Dorothy Hester, our public information officer, what do you have good for the board this evening?
I have a couple of things, but I wanted to add on to Commissioner Ross's comment about school resource officers because it reminded me of I had gotten a call from Jeff Hampton from the Virginia Pilot about our school resource officers. He was confirming that we do have one in every school, and we do. And in follow-up, his article, we're only one of four in the 115 school districts in North Carolina to have that. And it's a great commitment by this board and the sheriff's office. And I mean, it's a great thing. So I thought I'd just add that little factoid.
Thank you.
Yep. So Donna's been to you all several times about the land use plan the update that she'll start working on. She has scheduled those workshops with the planning board for next week. So they'll be here in the administration building on April 23rd, April 24th at the Fessenden Center in Buxton, and then on April 25th at the Baum Center. Those all start at 5 o'clock. That's to get public input so that as that land use plan gets updated, citizens have an opportunity to answer questions and share, help establish the vision. And there's a, she's also getting ready to post the survey online, so I thought I'd mention that. And then I did get word today that the Rodanthe Skate Park, they've just scheduled that grand opening on Saturday, May 5th from 11 to 4. They'll have music, skate exhibitions. It's at the Rodanthe Wave Salvo Community Building, so that'll be a great time. And I know that community is really excited about having that.
I'm told Commissioner Couch is going to do some figure eights for us, and
I'm going to rip that place apart. And then he's going to try out the new ambulance. I'm not afraid to drop in.
They're planning it for Saturday the 5th, like I said, 11 to 4, and they'll do it on the 6th, same hours if the weather does not cooperate. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Dorothy. Appreciate it. Mr. Clausen, do you have anything else for us this evening, this finance director?
No, I've already taken 3 hours.
Yeah, I know. So thank you for this afternoon. Appreciate all of your hard work, yours and Sally's, presenting us the budget information for the 2019. That concludes our meeting for this evening. Is there a motion to adjourn until 9 a.m. on May the 7th?
So moved.
There's a motion by Commissioner Couch to adjourn until May the 7th at 9 a.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner House. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. Motion carries.